It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oh God, I'm sad.
Why?
I'm sad. I'm golf sad, Tom Price.
Why? What's happened? Why?
I'm golf sad.
Because you're not playing, because it's closed, because you've played badly. There's many. Listen, if there's one thing we've learned in this podcast, there are many, many reasons you can be golf sad. Golf does nothing but make you sad.
I am golf sad because of this never ending, never ceasing, never abating.
Yeah, good. Go on. I want another one. Get that thesaurus up and running.
Never relinquishing.
Oh, God, why not? Not quite, but never mind.
Never back. Oh, I've given up. Why is the winter still here?
I just don't know. Well, actually, as you say that, and this is so ironic, I look out to my right and I see nothing but blue sky with a few wisps of cloud because it's cleared today. We're recording this on Friday the 1st. And this morning, I don't know about you, Tom, but my side return has had a stress testing week and it's sprung a few leaks.
Just the whole freezing cold rain, non-stop rain where we are in the world, in the UK and more specifically in London. Yeah. I just feel like I've not been able to go and play golf in shorts and have summer and have bouncing fairways and the sort of weather which pulls you to golf clubs, the sort of weather which makes booking four balls on a Sunday afternoon easy because you've got light. I just feel like I'm banging my head against the golfing wall at the moment.
Yeah, but you're not banging your head. You're banging your head into a wet, sloppy ditch.
Yes.
And it also, someone hit the other day I played and someone hit a shot and that noise of a sort of, it almost sounds like a shotgun. There's a noise of club. Yeah, club hits ground and then the ball sort of unwillingly comes off of the ball sort of comes off water rather than club.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like the club has introduced water to the ball and the ball uses the water to fly off. And the noise is such a sort of crack of wet golf. And it's just, oh, I hate it so much. I've never hated the weather as much as I do right now.
I don't know if I told you this story, actually. I had a really lovely round at Hadley Wood a few weeks ago, which we spoke about on the show. Alistair McKenzie designed, and it really did... Yeah. Lend its eye towards that. Like you could see the fairways bending and turning and going up hills and going down valleys. Like it's a really special golf course, Hadley Wood. If you've never played it, it really is very good.
Yeah.
But it was damp, right? Everyone was saying it was damp, it's damp, it's damp. And it was the first round that I unleashed the great power that is my 7-wood.
Oh my God. If I play golf with another person who's got a 7-wood.
Mate, 7-wood is the buzz term for 2024 golf. But I want you to picture the scene.
Go on.
So I'm coming up the 18th. I'm leading. I'm one up at this stage, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no way I can lose, but I can maybe get a draw. Par 5, middle of the fairway, 7-wood. Crack it, right?
Yeah.
200 yards, just up the fairway. I'm slap bang in the middle of the fairway.
You're not losing. You're not losing this game of golf.
Where's that ball gone, mate?
No, it hasn't. Don't do that. No, well, that's just silly.
Where's that ball gone, mate?
Oh, under a leaf? Have you looked under that leaf or that leaf or maybe that leaf?
I saw it go in the middle of the fairway. So there's me walking up and down and round and left and right. And it had been the ball, because it comes in such a height on that 7-wood, drove itself into the wet mulch of the ground. Oh. And I found it and it was all right. And obviously below the ground level, you can pick and place and it was fine. And I wouldn't, it was all good. But I was just like, I can't lose a ball in the fairway.
That's unreal. It's unreal. And that moment when you hit a good drive and you watch it land and you just laugh because it just goes and it just sinks into this rotten sponge. It's just the absolute worst. And then you have to get it out. Oh, and then, though, you get to use my favourite thing, which is named after a golfer I play with called Malcolm, which is Malcolm's rag.
Oh, okay. He's bringing that to the golf club, is he?
Yeah, Malcolm's rag, right? Do you ever use a Malcolm's rag or not?
I don't know what it is.
It's a pocket rag. It's a tiny flannel. It's a square. It's probably no bigger, really, than a big old-fashioned handkerchief, for those of you who dabbled back in the day. And you basically got a towel-y-type handkerchief in your back pocket. And it's a wonderful thing, so that every time you've got to get your ball out, you can give it a clean, rather than have to walk over to your bag. I have got, as I look now, I've not played for 3 days, my left index finger down the side, which is... all good golfers will have the same pattern of dry skin on their hands. And as I look down the left, my left index finger, and it's the right hand side of it, it's all dry and scaly, and it's brown with mud, because the other day, every time I picked up my golf ball, bits of mud went into the cracks in my skin. I can still see it now.
That's how you know a golfer's there.
Yeah, like a gardener.
And this is the sort of weather where you don't want to wear anything new. And you don't want to wear anything nice because it would just get absolutely destroyed. And excitingly, after we made quite a big deal about it on last week's podcast, we can now talk about the amazing Puma proper golf shoes, which are now out in the world. And that's what we were alluding to last week. I don't want to wear them out there yet, mate. It's too, you destroy them.
You must be joking. I'm not wearing those fancy pants, proper golf shoes, until it's club champs and I am guaranteed of no... I don't even want any pollen drifting onto those shoes, let alone rain. They have to... I need those shoes, right? Much like when I made an advert with Mariah Carey, right? You know, I did an advert with Mariah Carey years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, your big advert. Tom's big advert.
My big
house.
Advert with Mariah Carey. Yeah, there you go. And she had a whole host of people who were her... minions, and there was one woman whose job was...
I think you were joking.
Hostel World, look it up. And there was one woman
actually
whose job it was... There was one woman whose job it was to powder Mariah Carey's feet. That was her job. She was footwoman. And every time Mariah Carey walked into a room to film something and she had sandals on, the woman would have to get on all fours and start powdering and doing the makeup for Mariah's feet. I want someone to do that for my new... very, very cool Puma.
What was your role in this advert?
Hostel World.
Yeah.
I was the head of the hostel, mate. No big deal.
Hold on.
Hold on. Yeah, there
hold
it is.
Hold on. I think I've got the advert here. Is this you? Oh, my God, it's you!
Yeah, with a bit of hair. Yeah. Maria Carey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me.
Hold on. This is great. Okay,
who's coming?
Maria Carey. Who's Maria Carey?
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey.
Yes.
Mariah Carey.
Yes.
Off of
Wow. There I am doing the acting. Tom. Well done.
Oh, I'm multi-talented, not just excellent with a short iron, also very good at going to Barcelona and making an advert for youth hostels.
Fantastic. Well, what a sideways glance that was, eh? Very
was
quickly. On that, there was something that I wanted to say. Can we all say hello to Gary, please?
All right, Gary, what's going on?
Gary McKinney.
Hello, Gary McKinney. Good old Gazza.
Now, Gary's got a great clickbaity email title.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
Have I called him Gary?
Yeah, it's Greg, man.
It's Greg. Why do I do that?
No. What you say here is we were just saying hello to Gary McKinney. And also, well, it's coincidentally...
His brother's in.
Yeah, exactly. Hello to Greg. Greg McKinney.
Greg, Gary's brother, as sort of aforementioned, has emailed... Yeah. Saying, hi, Tom's loving the show. Big question for you both. And this is a fascinating email.
Yes.
Everyone in golf media always goes on about growing the game. And that is so important. But if you're not working in golf, are there any positives to growing the game?
No.
Surely growing the game just means higher green fees, membership, the reintroduction of joining fees, busier tee sheets, more expensive equipment. So why grow the game? Greg/Gary.
I think that's a very good point from Greg/Gary. There's one thing I'd say is, this sounds sort of contradictory, but making sure the game doesn't get smaller is also growing the game. Does that make sense? Because golf has got a very natural steep decline. A lot of golfers are quite old and they die. And we need to make sure we are replenishing the supply. So technically you're sort of growing it, but actually the numbers, it's probably similar. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe you need to rephrase it. Not growing it, it's almost passing the baton.
It's almost passing about because you've got to make sure with the steep drop off, people just stop playing, that you've got new blood coming through. So that you have to think of it as growing. You're growing it into younger people to make them do it. Also, I'd say that it's a sort of rule of capitalism, isn't it? Like the biggest threat to mankind, some people say, and I'm not sure I agree with them because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, But the biggest threat, some people say, is depopulation, the population decrease. If it goes down, there are less people to do the jobs, less people to do the caring, da 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 da. And there's a similar pattern with a sport like golf. You need more people to come in and inject it with cash, basically. The more people who play, the more money is in the sport, the better the clubs do, the more they flourish, and the healthier the game is generally, if that makes sense.
And I just want more eyeballs on the sport. I don't mind. I think, yeah, and I understand that we to a degree work in golf media by the fact we do a podcast or whatever. But like, I just think the fact that more of my friends are getting into it, there's more people to talk to about golf, more opinions lead to better ideas and different ways of doing the sport. So I do think there's advantages to everyone through growing the game. And if the game had never grown and never changed, well, it probably would have never left Scotland, and then that would be a disaster because we wouldn't be here talking about it. And by growing the game and adapting the game, it's opened it up so everyone can play. You don't have to be. And whether this is true or not, that golf is a possible, we touched on that a few weeks ago, but let's say it is for a second. Growing the game has managed to make sure it's not just a posh person's sport and anyone can play it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair to say. And I think I know what you mean, Greg/Gary, about, well, growth just means it's going to be more crowded and I don't want the first tee being like Piccadilly Circus. And I get that. But if you don't grow it and you end up with a club where, and there's a few clubs, you know, I know a club down in Kent, which is dead. And it's dead posh Rye I'm talking about here. They don't have a starter sheet. You just rock up and you can always play. But it's got so much money injected into it. It's so established financially, it's fine. Whereas if you took that picture and took it somewhere else where it was dead and quiet, that club dies. Like, there's very actually relatively few golf courses that can survive with low membership. They need people there to survive. So when you see everyone on the course and think it's crowded, yeah, I get it, but they are the people keeping the place alive, really.
And also, don't pull up the ladder behind you after you've climbed up, I think is important, because you've been let in, and I'm not talking about Greg/Gary here, I'm talking about anyone, you've been let into the club to play, you've been given that space. Don't stop other people following your path and joining the club and joining the course and taking the path that you've taken just because you're now in. You shouldn't be like, well, no more people, I don't want my tee times getting full, because the members who joined 10 years previous to you didn't say that about you.
But to play devil's advocate, there is another side to this. When I know Muswell Hill a few years ago, going back a decade or so now, they did a May Madness thing where it was £100 to join for May and you could play throughout May.
Oh, God, you told me about this. You were there then, weren't you?
I was there then and it was a mess. The course was covered in forwards, you know, who were, and this is, you know, here comes the snobbery bit. They were wearing jeans and trainers and it looked really bad and they were all over the place and it was crawling and the members hated it. But I know two or three people who joined and have since been a member at the golf club. And they would, you know, so they probably play for 10 years, paying an average of, let's say, £1,000 a year, a bit more maybe. That's probably 30 or 40 grand's worth of money that's come into the club in the last decade because of that. So I'm afraid, for me, it comes down to money. I see where you're coming from the heart a bit, but I'm coming from the finances of it, really.
Yeah, there's a financial incentive for everyone to keep, even just to keep the clubs open that we all want. We need more money coming in.
Yeah, and if you want to go and, you know, if you want to get a nice kit and stuff, you've got to make the game big enough that sponsors and makers are going to go along and make this stuff. If not enough people are playing it, then Puma will just not bother to make golf kit anymore. It's that simple.
Hey, Charlie Horsfield.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Toms. Was listening to this week's episode and thought I'd like to offer some thoughts on the question Tom posed regarding golf as a posh person's sport. My journey with the sport seems to be a common one the more people I talk to. I played golf as a child. Grandparents were co-captains at a club in the Wirral, so golf was always on TV at their house and they were keen on me getting into it. However, I actually did most of my playing with school friends on a couple of semi-decent local municipal nine holes, which were a few pound per round, and only very rarely played a proper sort of quote-unquote course. I stopped around my mid-teens and only came back to the sport a couple of years ago, my early 30s now, as I've been left some clubs and wanted to get back into it. I now play regularly as I can at a local golf club. 99% of the people I've met on the course have been really friendly, and I certainly don't find the people who go there to be overtly posh, although I'm sure there are much posher clubs in my area, Chester, but I have never felt the poshness to be a negative to my enjoyment of the game while visiting other clubs' courses. However, what I do think puts people off more than poshness is the clicky nature of the clubs and the inferred or real clickiness of people who go there. And this story he goes on to tell is really interesting. He says,
yeah.
For example, due to busy lives, children, wife, dog, home renovations, I use a points-based membership, as on average I play 20 to 30 times a year, not including visits to other clubs' driving range. And that doesn't justify the cost of joining most clubs officially. I'm the one playing infrequently. Due to that, I have had people take my tee time and push me to the next one or hold me up and not ask or let me play through because they don't know my face.
You're
and
not
say I'm not a
proper class of,
member.
No, what? That's insane.
Totally.
Of course not.
This is where it gets crazy. I've even had the guys in the pro shot tell me to wait and get real members to use my tee time because I'm only a play more golf guy. It's a shame because I do think it would put new players and other people testing the waters off, as I assume visitors and guests would probably feel the same. Just want to share the thoughts, Charlie. I've never heard that, and that's really, really sad.
Well, I hope that isn't the case now, Charlie. I hope that isn't too recent. Because I know that the pay-as-you-play, the sort of the building up credits thing, that's relatively new. That's only been introduced in the last 10 years or so. And hopefully the snobbery around it has gone. But you do get that, don't you, at golf courses? People sort of say slightly sheepishly, oh, I'm only a five-day member. Like it's a lower class of member or something. It's just bizarre.
Which is so stupid. And I also think those different tiers of membership were a really clever thing golf clubs did a few years ago to get way more members in. And I know, speaking about Muswellar Hill, my old course, your course, it helped bring loads of new people into the course. The fact that you could do 5 day plus or 7 day or just social membership, it's helped keep places alive.
Yeah. Well, social membership's a good one. I think it's only £70 and you get to sit on that lovely terrace and drink wine and be really loud when people are teeing off. I mean, I'm absolutely fine. I'm fine for those people to be there and have a lovely time. Tom, it's time for some ads.
I love adverts.
Me too.
So I've actually got loads of golf chat for you this week.
Oh, God. Wow. Well, we better crack on because it's the second half of the show, Tom.
It is the second half of the show. And I'm off to go and play golf in Portugal in 2 weeks.
Oh, you... Is this your stag do?
No. This is a trip to go and see Em's parents who are out there, and I've got one round of golf to get in.
Oh. And how long are you out there for, and how many rounds are you doing? So you're doing one round in how long?
One round in 4 days.
Blech. That's not enough.
No, I know it's not enough, but for very sort of confusing admin reasons, that's all I'm going to get away, right?
It's not enough.
Question.
Yeah.
What's our thoughts on golf club hire at golf courses?
Great show. Great question. Because the problem is, it's expensive to fly your clubs out, isn't it?
Really expensive.
Like £70 plus kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it might even be more than that. It feels like it's probably like £59.99 each way, I would say it is. Because it's similar to ski, when you take ski stuff, it's a fortune.
Yeah, and how much is it to hire a set of golf clubs for one round? Not that. £30, £40 maybe? Top.
Yeah, see, that's also what I don't know. I've got no idea because I've not hired them in ages. Is that what I should be expecting to pay?
I would expect that, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I haven't hired clubs since I don't know when. But when I went to Portugal, we flew our clubs out because we were playing three rounds, and that makes more financial sense. But because you're ill-advisedly only playing one round, you've got to hire them. But then also, it's a bit like when you go skiing and you get some new skis. You know, you might get some nice new sexy clubs to have a go with.
Then they do tend to be. If you go and play a nice place abroad, which is because we're only playing once, we're going to go and play the course at Val de Lobo. I think it's Val de Lobo, which is the one, it's the par three over the water. Literally over the beach. It's quite a famous par three.
Wow, with people sunbathing on the beach?
There's people, you're on like a cliff face. And there's the beach directly below you. And I think people could just be there.
Oh my God, being shouted at.
Which is, knowing my propensity to hit a snap hook.
You have hit a snap hook and three sunbathers. Congratulations, that's the par.
Well done.
I think you've got to rent when you get out there. But if you do that, you need, and I know you're not a fan of this because you are... It's car door slams, tee goes in the ground kind of guy. You've got to give yourself an hour before you play.
Yeah, just to get your head round them, to have a few swings.
Well, also get your distances. I mean, how annoying would that be to be playing this lovely course and you hit a 7-iron and your new 7-iron goes 30 yards further, which they can do.
Yeah.
You've got to think about this, but definitely rent them. Don't bother flying yours out. It's not worth it. Because also they can get damaged as well. It's just not worth it.
No, I'm just really excited to go and play. What I said at the start of the show today, like the whole winter golf at the moment. The fact that it could be shorts and t-shirts golf. We will be shorts and t-shirts golf in a week and a bit. I just think if anyone's thinking of booking lads golf trips.
Now's the time.
Slip him in March.
Yeah, get out there now. So do you know what the weather's like out there at the moment? Have you been checking?
Yeah, 20 degrees, high teens. Perfect golf weather. A little bit breezy in the evening, a little bit windy, but just middle of the day, out there, playing golf, not too hot.
It's not even that warm in my house.
No, of course it's not.
Oh, that is just delicious. Oh, my God.
And this did lead me to thinking, because I was thinking about this, I was thinking about going to Portugal and renting clubs and... If you could bring one thing back from abroad golf to the UK.
And we're talking about not a material thing? Are we talking about some sort of abstract idea?
I think it's an abstract idea.
I know what
it is. I think it's a material. You can't say, oh, can I bring the sun back? Mm-hmm. But if there's certain things about abroad golf that you really like yeah. you like, I don't know, you like playing by the ocean or you like... I don't know. But there's something that I've got in mind, which is a material thing.
Okay, there's two things. Can I go for two things? That's not allowed,
is it? Yeah, of course.
Well, so the first up is they abroad, certainly in Portugal when I played there, they do have these really lovely velvety green bouncy fairways. It's probably a different type of grass. A nerd would know, but it feels like the grass, certainly on the fairway, is more receptive and it's easier to hit off.
I'm going to say zoysia grass. Is that it?
Oh, my God. God, just say it. Say it with conviction. Then move on quickly. That's how you...
Zoysia.
It's all it takes to be an expert. Say something quickly and hard and fast and get out of there. So that's one thing. The other thing I would like to bring back and see more of in this country is someone... not enough courses in this country have someone who goes out on a buggy, whether that be to make sure everyone's playing quickly, whether that be to give you beers, whether that be to, as I found at the K Club, give you an umbrella when it was raining, whether that be to bring you food. Like, there's not, it's just not a thing that you see enough of in this country. And I've seen it a lot abroad.
Bermuda grass. So, you know. Yeah, that was mine. I would love in the UK to have more of that buggy going round, pushing people on, speeding people up. Yeah. Do you want a beer, lads? Or do you want some food? Or do you want a coffee? I'd love that if we had something a bit more of that going on in the UK.
Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to phone the clubhouse because it's so slow? Because I have.
No, I haven't. But I think that maybe pertains to our difference in personalities.
To be fair to me, I was playing with our mutual friend, John Robbins, at the Shire. And there were about 8 4 balls in front of us. And we got on the fourth and it had taken us something like an hour and 20 minutes to play 3 holes. I mean, it was awful. And he phoned the clubhouse. And they're lovely guys there, really, really nice. But there was not actually much they can do. They can't go out and tell these guys, come on, crack on. These guys were all in buggies. They were just crap at golf and they were incredibly slow.
When you say waiting, are you talking there's someone else in front of you on the tee still to go? Is that the level of waiting?
Oh, that is the worst. We were on, I think it's the third. There's a par 5 third at the Shire. And we worked out there were 4 different groups on one hole. Because there were 2 of us on tee, 1 at first shot, a group at second shot, and then 4 or 5, and there were people on the green. You could just see them dotted all the way down there. And it's just that thing of seeing the lack of urgency. That is my biggest gripe. When you see someone hit a shot and stand there and look at the grass a bit and sort of flick their iron on the floor again as if that's what they meant to do. And I'm always really conscious of that. If someone's behind us, I get very, very anxious. I think that's my chief source of on-course anxiety is when someone's behind us on the golf course.
There's nothing worse than having people barreling up your arse for a whole round. The only thing I think is a good way of combating that is to, as soon as you have that feeling of, oh, bloody hell, they're getting quite close or they want to get through, just approach the subject with them, because there's nothing better than when you say, do you want to play through or sorry? And they go, do you know what? We're absolutely fine. We're in no rush whatsoever. Because if they are barreling up you, it's just nice to have that knowledge that they don't care. They're not trying to get through you. So you can just relax a bit.
We had a couple of right rutters the other day. We were walking off, and we weren't playing particularly slowly. They were two ball, and they were going at speed, and they were decent golfers. And we were walking back to get our bags, and the walk to get our bags, whilst being in the direction of the next tee, looped back a bit down the fairway, just a tiny bit at our place. And they hit into us, basically. They hit right past us. And one of the guys I was playing with was really annoyed with them. And then when we let them through, they were so... It was just no niceness about it at all. It was nothing. It was just like, all right, thanks. You know, just monosyllabic. And it does make you realise, and I know, again, I worry about becoming the old man with a pipe sitting on the captain's chair here, but a really big
with your rag cloth in your back pocket. What's it called?
Malcolm's rag. A really big part of the game is social skills, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
It is. Just going, hello, guys. I mean, you're absolutely right. You learn. If I go back and say to these guys and make contact with them, they're going to be less annoyed. When I'm just a shape in the distance, they get pissed off with me. But as soon as I make an effort to just say hi and have a quick chat, it's all fine. It's you know, if someone's up my ass, but there's someone in front of us, and then I'm completely relaxed.
Because there's nothing you can do at that stage, is there?
There's nothing I can do. Yeah, it's like being in a traffic jam. But when you are at the front, effectively, and you've got someone right behind you, that I find very, very stressful.
Hello, Jack Ball.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Tom. Tom. Love the pod. Can't get enough of it. Thought I'd message in as after your little extra gimme end of last week, I see you take time to read these. We read out every single email.
Yeah, we do.
The email is thetoms@golfisreallmylife.co.uk. Anyway, I've totally got the golf bug. Started on and off for 2 years, but last year fully focused on golf. Just wondering, I find myself now playing to a good enough standard to hold my own. Haven't got a handicap going, but I'm going to try and do that this year. Just thought I'd ask, would a GPS golf watch be beneficial buy or not? On a side, this is very, Jack's line here at the end is very good. Ooh. On a side note, I definitely subscribe to your OnlyFans page that you were talking about a few minutes. And when I saw this email, I was like, that's hilarious. Imagine if we did a golf OnlyFans. He's talking about the Patreon, which we are still thinking of doing. There's lots of conversations going on in the background. But golf OnlyFans is a hilarious idea.
Golf OnlyFans, that's really made me laugh. That's just imagine my wife saying to me, how are you making money at the moment? Got an OnlyFans. Just, yeah, hit a 3-wood off the deck and people pay me £6.
Is that a tee in your pocket? Are you just pleased to see me?
God, what GPS... have you got on Malcolm's rag? Nothing.
GPS watches. I don't like swinging a golf club in a watch. So before you buy anything, it would be good to make sure you actually like swinging with something on your wrist.
You're not going to believe this. I've just looked at my phone and my swing U has just popped up. This is one of the apps. There's two apps I'm looking at, and they both sync up with your watch because I've got quite a big... Rick Shields has got one as well. He's got a big old Apple Watch, you know, the big Apple Watch Ultra. And you're absolutely right. Check that you're happy to swing with a stupid big watch on your wrist, first of all. I nearly got it yesterday. I nearly got the golfing app yesterday that goes with your phone. But I'm not a GPS guy. I really like the telescope.
Yeah, this is the thing with being new to golf, and a lot of these things can be quite expensive. The apps are good, man. The apps are good. I used Hole 19 for ages, and you can pay a little subscription or whatever and get HD maps, and it's pretty brilliant. It's pretty bang on, to be honest with you. And even now with my scope, I will always check it against my phone as well if I've got any doubt, because the amount of times I've scanned the bloody tree behind the green and sent it through, that delicious. I will always, if there's any doubt in my mind that's like, maybe that's not that, I will always check it on my app. So if you're looking to save a bit of money, the apps are good. And I think I would always go scope over watch.
Yes, I think so. But don't forget, so this is an interesting thing. If this guy, Jack, if you're just sort of starting out, then what's quite good about using an app rather than, an app and a watch rather than a scope is that you can then look at patterns. Now, you might get onto that too early. You don't want to be looking for patterns with your 7-iron when you're still playing off 26 or whatever, because they won't be there yet. But as you get down into your teens, it's good to start looking at patterns and looking at stuff. And so this app that I was looking at yesterday... is called Golf Shot. Okay. And I'm looking at the settings right now, right? I'm looking at the Apple Watch settings. And these are some of the options it's got. Use watch GPS. So that means it'll use your watch's GPS rather than your phone. So if you leave your phone in your bag, it's just using your watch. Auto shot tracking enables the Apple Watch to automatically track your shots. So that's basically Arcos, essentially. That is going to know every time you've hit the ball.
How's it doing that?
Because it feels you make contact with the ball.
How does it know what club's in your hand?
Good question. you probably have to tell it.
Yeah, you probably have to select tell. Maybe you could do that afterwards, or maybe you've got to do it before you take your swing. Just say, oh, 7-9 or whatever.
Smart club distances, more forgiving of tracked shots that are short or off target and may result in more accurate caddy recommendations. So this is the point. Once you're doing it regularly, you get to a stage where your app will say you should take a 6-iron for here. Swing ID, this is new. Swing ID requires auto shot tracking to be enabled. Swing ID will collect motion data from your watch on each shot you take to provide you with real-time data viewable on your watch and post-round analysis of your swing from Swing ID on the home screen.
I want it. That sounds great.
And do you want to know how much it is for a year? It's on a deal at the moment.
Oh, I reckon what? 80 quid?
$40.
Wow, but you got to have the Apple Watch.
So that's the thing, because I've got the Apple Watch Pro, which has got a bigger battery on it. That is going to... So listen, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get it and I'll report back.
Yeah, that sounds really good. But to answer the question, you can buy really good scopes online. Like the scopes on Amazon are now like 20 quid or something.
Yeah, I get scopes. Oh, it's gone up to $70. Bugger, I've missed the sale. Oh, so annoying.
I did buy it anyway. Or just get the apps or whatever. Final one before we're done, Tom.
Yeah.
And there's a debate raging on my lads' WhatsApp group at the moment.
Oh, go on.
About our next golfing trip.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to remember when we're chatting about this, this isn't me and you going on a golfing trip where golf is our whole lives.
Yeah.
So we're willing to probably put more money into it than most because this is our main thing that we do. This is a group of lads at very different abilities, very different levels of passion for the sport.
Right.
How much would you expect to play one night, two rounds, UK?
One night, two rounds, UK. I can base this on my mate Malcolm off of the Rags is going to Prince's, which is a top course in Kent, and he's playing two rounds, one night in a hotel for 215 quid. That is top. So I would say scaling that down a bit, anywhere between 150 and 200 quid.
Yeah. He's paying, what, St. George's?
No, Prince's, which is next door to St. George's. And a lot of people say the Billikors. Exactly, yeah.
Is he staying on the course?
I think so, yeah.
See, I would say 250 quid is obviously... 215?
15
is obviously a lot of money, but that's a serious golf course he's paying.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Playing. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think most people are going to want to pay around the 110 to 130 mark.
It's quite cheap. Unless you have a big gang of you. If there's like 12 of you, you might get a discount.
It is quite cheap. But with the discounts you can get these days, it's remarkable what you can get done. Like I reckon you'll get good deals for around the 130 mark. Granted, they're not going to be bucket list golf courses.
That'd be nice, though. That'd be nice.
But they should be all right, because this is the debate that we've got at the moment. And I really want to get everyone down to the Belfry or down to Celtic Manor and all this sort of stuff. But when you go to those sort of places, you are looking at your 250, 200 price point, which for a lot of people, especially my mates who aren't really into it, it's a turn off.
Yeah, because it's just if they don't love it so much, they're just there to have a laugh and have a good drink in the hotel. So I think you've got to agree a price point, and then you just need to get in touch with a good golf dealer.
And it's forever the debate that we have in our group, because there's people like me and my friend Matt. And Matt's a better golfer than me. Matt nearly played for Preston North End. Great footballer. Did a scholarship of football over in the US. Just very athletic. Has one of the most beautiful swings ever. Doesn't play golf that much. Plays off like three.
I don't like him. I've heard bad things about him, actually, as a person.
Really annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
So me and him love it. And then you get other members of the group who they play three or four times throughout summer. So they just don't want to throw the money at it. But I don't want to go and play a dog track because what's the point? And I think they don't want that, really. But then also, they're never going to go and put the money into it to go and play the Belfry. And why would they? Because they're going to hack it round, so they're not going to want to.
You know what you need to do is not go on a golfing holiday with people who aren't very good at golf, if I'm honest.
Yeah, this is the thing. Then you end up getting into, okay, this is more of a, this isn't a golf trip. This is a lad's trip with a bit of golf attached. And then these are my actual really big golfing mates who we want to go tick off some great golf courses and do the Scotland thing and whatever.
Yeah. Oh, it's difficult. Oh, well, I mean, I'd agree a number with them. That's what you got to do. Say, listen, lads, come on, let's take a vote. Do the old vote on the WhatsApp group and say, 150 quid, 175 quid, 200 quid. Get the number out of them and then go for it.
And yeah, and then try and get something nice from there. It's just interesting, isn't it? Talking price points on golf trips and what people are willing to pay and what you think you should get for that amount of money.
The argument can be with them like, yeah, okay, fine, I get it. You don't play golf loads and you don't want to, you're not that into it. You're still going to have a really nice time if you pay a bit more money. It's not like it's a waste of money for you. It's still going to be a really nice thing to do, even if you're not a huge, constantly playing kind of guy.
Anyway, I'll feedback. I'll let you know how it goes.
Feedback,
that's another podcast
know.
Episode.
Oh my God, we're done and dusted. Thanks for listening. You know where to get in touch with us. The Toms at golfersruiningmylife.co.uk.
Yeah, send us emails. Make sure we've not done one of these for a while. Do hit that subscribe button. I know there's loads of people hitting it at the moment because our numbers are going crazy, which is obviously really exciting, especially if you've been here. I know there's listeners that we've had from the start. This is a very different beast from back then when me and Tom just basically put our feet up and was like, should we talk some golf? It's now crazy. We absolutely love doing this show for you. So the Toms at golfisruinmylife.co.uk. If you've not checked us out on TikTok, and also new listeners, We did a few episodes of a YouTube series, which we didn't end up continuing because it was too much bloody work. But if you want to see me and Price actually hit some golf shots and have a laugh, we're getting loads of comments on that at the moment because people are finding it and discovering it. It's just on our YouTube channel, Golf is Ruining My Life.
Yes, check it out, as the kids say. Check it out. It's very good, I think.
Thanks, Dan. See you next time. Bye, bye, bye.
Podcast Network.